Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Sunday, February 24th. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica, California. I'm joined on the line by two of my sisters. Julie is in Dallas, Texas. And Julie, I understand you just recently had Leanne in your home. She can't be with us on the air today, but she blew through Dallas over the weekend.
Yes, she did. She just was here and you just missed her, but I'm going to tell you all about it. Yes, fortunately, there's a large airport here in Dallas, DFW, and to get to many places in the country, you come through DFW. So Leanne stopped by. We had a great little visit.
Okay. And Monica Dolan in Portland, Oregon, you're with us today. You've been doing a fair amount of your own traveling. So welcome back to Satellite Sisters.
Thank you, Liz. I'm just, you know, I'm not quite red carpet ready yet this morning, but I'm thinking about getting red carpet ready for the big night.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine what that would take? I actually think I was looking in the mirror this morning and thinking, you know, we've had a really rough like 6 months or so, or a year. Let's call it a year. And I feel like somehow the actual texture of my hair has changed in the course of the year. Like there's something related to like grief and hair texture. I do not know, but I would like somebody to study that because that's what I appear to be observing. But first of all, Julie, chime in with your Leanne report.
Well, this is some happy news because it was, as many Satellite Sister listeners and Facebook bookers know, this week was Leanne's birthday. And quite frankly, she was a little down on her actual birthday, but she was coming through Dallas on her way to a book convention in Kansas City, Kansas, and she where she is going to be talking about her new book that's coming out in May, Elizabeth the First Wife, which is just fantastic. But so she was going
Julie, you're the only sister who's actually been allowed to read it. Can I just point that out?
I didn't know that.
Oh, Monica, you haven't seen it, have you?
I didn't even know the name of the book till last week, till I saw it on Facebook.
Okay, just between you and me, sisters, it's even better than Helen of Pasadena.
Oh, good.
You are going to like it better. It's just a little more complicated. It's richer. The characters are great. There's a lot of great elements in the book. So okay, I didn't realize that I was Leanne's favorite sister. Well, I lived up to that role as I just decided, okay, we're going to do something fun for Leanne's birthday. And as you rightly put out, Liz, I mean, in the last year, 18 months, we haven't been having too much fun in the Dolan family. But so I decided we were going to go out to lunch and shopping. Okay, I know I haven't done that in 2012, and I was certain that Leanne hadn't done that either. So, and I had the perfect place to take her. I took her to a restaurant in Dallas called Rise. That's R-I-S-E, number one, and it is a souffle restaurant. That's all they
make. That's all they make? So, like, appetizer, main course, dessert, souffle?
Well, I have, two soups and, one salad, if you want to be on a technicality. But essentially, they have savory souffles for lunch or dinner, and then sweet souffles for dessert. And it's all done in this adorable little French setting with all things Frenchy and cute and charming. So it is not the place you can ever take a guy. So I can never take my husband there. I can never talk international business husband into eating a souffle for dinner, Monica.
He would be asking for where's the meat. So when do we get the meal?
He would be so sad.
Leanne enjoys souffles. She can actually make a souffle.
Right, but it's not something you do. So it's a very special place to go out to lunch. And I had my daughter-in-law, Vera, and my granddaughter, Alice, come with us. So we had quite the birthday party, complete with a raspberry souffle for dessert with a birthday candle on it. So with the afternoon just started off with a bang. Leanne was very impressed with the souffle place. And a good time was had by all. But then we went on to go shopping. Now, we didn't have anything particular in mind, but I wanted to take Leanne to a couple of both housewares and clothing stores that I thought she might enjoy. And with her new book coming out, The cover of the book, it has a beautiful lavender flowers on it and this beautiful blue. So I, as just a mission, we thought that we might look for things that she could wear while she's on a book tour. You know, maybe
oh,
just...
so you're also her stylist now. Okay,
yes.
All right.
Isn't she her favorite sister? Yes, I have taken on the role of being a stylist. And, you know, the nice thing about going shopping with your sister is, like, we're both brutally honest with each other. So we were at Neiman Marcus Last Call. So it's the discount Last Call place for Neiman Marcus, looking at items. And Leon picked out what on the hanger looked like a beautiful, sort of was a print blouse with, it had a lot of lavender in it. So we thought it might look good, you know, when she's on a book tour wearing this shirt, because it would kind of go with the book cover, but not too matchy-matchy. And as long as she was trying on clothes, I picked out this easy breezy summer shift that I thought I would try on. So we each went into our own dressing rooms, and I came out in my easy breezy summer shift to get Leon's either thumbs up or thumbs down. And Leon, just Monica, she started laughing so hard when she saw me in this easy breezy summer shift that she couldn't breathe. There was like no noise coming out. It was just this squeaks. And I realized, as she said, that I somehow had achieved a skin tone where I was paler than Tilda Swinton. And somehow this easy breezy shift that I had put on accentuated exactly how pale and white and clammy I looked.
I mean, you are naturally very pale, Julie. But you dress to make the most of that. It's just part of your overall color palette.
Yes. So, but apparently I had picked out a shift that accentuated my paleness and nothing else. So I got the big thumbs down on that. So Leon talked me out of the shift, and I talked her out of the floral print shirt, which had looked so good on the hanger, but Leon actually looked like a purple pirate in it when she had it on. Find a very pretty pair of purple earrings, which, you know, so it's just an accent color. You don't want to be too obvious about this, but at, you know, when people see her on the book tour and she's holding up that book, you'll be able to see these very pretty purple earrings. So all in all, it was, you know, a fun afternoon. Came home with a lot of packages. We also went to another store that was 75% off of Christmas decorations. Again, I would never, ever have gone there, but you know, when you're with your sister, you just get talked into stuff. So, yeah, she talked me into buying. I bought $9 worth of these adorable, they're wooden critters. That's the only thing I can call them that I would have bought. But Liam was right there. And she's like, buy them, Julie. They're so cute. You're going to love them.
Oh, I think it's nice that you're projecting yourself forward to Christmas, both of you. Why not? Just let's get on with 2013, right?
Well, you know, but Liz, it was just a great afternoon. And, you know, I had so much fun planning it and just trying to think about something very happy and fun, something that Leon would enjoy. And I know Leon just totally appreciated everything about the day, the lunch, the shopping, you know, the laughter in the dressing room. And, you know, and so it was a great day. And so she is on her way now to Kansas City to attend this booksellers convention. But here's the problem. The weather looks so terrible. She may be just moving to Kansas City permanently now because they have another big winter storm coming in there. And I'm not sure Leon is ever going to get out of Kansas City. But it's a good thing she has her purple earrings, just in case.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Lee and Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Lian's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Lian and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Lian.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
She gets called upon to make any media appearances to, you know, if she wants to be one of those stranded travelers they always interview at airports during weather situations like this, she's going to be accessorized perfectly for that.
Yeah. So she, yes, that's right. And she can hold up the copy of the book. They had an advanced copy of the book with her, which again, I guess I'm the only sister that's seen that. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, obviously we're trying to have a little fun here on Satellite Sisters today and in our lives too. But you know, if you're a regular listener, that, as we've said, we had a really rocky 2012. You know that we lost our mother at the end of November. She got very sick very quickly and died very quickly. And then since the last show, Monica, you and I recorded a show several Saturdays ago and where we just had a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
And we were, but it was then on that Monday morning, Julie, that you called me at 3 o'clock in the morning to say that our father was clearly dying. And he did, in fact, die that Monday with you and your husband and your son there, right?
Yes, he did. And, you know, I know you came that afternoon along with Lian. You know, it's hard to put it in words, but I now, having witnessed both our mother's death and our father's death, First of all, I have to say I'm strengthened in my faith because both mom and dad died with family around them. They died hearing people say, you know, we love you, you know, we want you to be in peace. They died with, you know, the full grace and blessing of their church, of what, and of their God. And, you know, and in many ways, it was very life-affirming because while they both suffered, mom with a short but very, very difficult illness, and dad with Alzheimer's, which is a long, slow goodbye, as people say, you know, they both suffered so much, but in their deaths, they were actually very peaceful. And Monica, you were there when mom died. You know that it was a very moving event to be present at something like that. It is part of life. And I know that I'm very grateful to the hospice workers that worked with us with mom and the hospice workers that helped with dad, because otherwise I can imagine it can be an incredibly confusing and bewildering, and you're just so overwhelmed with grief at what is happening that, to, you know, to have the calm, certain voices of the hospice nurse, you know, telling you, you know, that this is how it's going to be and what's going to happen. And the words they used, Liz, when I called you that morning at 3 a.m, they said, your father is already in transition. And that's, you know, their very grace, the hospice workers' very graceful way of saying that, you know, dad was dying and that he was transitioning from this world to another world. And they really helped us with that process. And, you know, for dad, he died in a nursing home. And I know that can sound so sad, but it wasn't sad and it wasn't a sad place. And Liz and Monica,
Right. It was not a sad place. I mean, we were very lucky that you found him such a lovely place, so close to where you are. It was because of his Alzheimer's, he really did need 24-hour care that we could not provide in any of our homes. But he obviously felt very comfortable there. And the fact that you could come and go several times a day as you did, and all of us visited him there and spent time with him there. He'd only been there since October, but he definitely seemed very comfortable living there.
Yeah, and it was so nice, you know, this week, just as, you know, as a witness of the kind of care that he got, I received a beautiful card from the nursing home signed by over 20 nurses' aides and nurses and technicians, all offering their personal notes of condolence to dad and talking about the impression that dad made on them and that he was going to be greatly missed. And I thought, you know, that was just like so many of the condolences we've received from so many people, that just really touched me to think that, you know, in the last days of his life, that people that had been strangers to him, you know, were very caring and that in some way he had touched them and that that was important. So all of these things that just, you know, it does, you know, it makes you sort of think about your own life and how to live the best life you can and how to help others that are going through this very, you know, the difficult period of grief.
You know, another thing I would say about the hospice care and the hospice people that we dealt with, both here in Santa Monica caring for mom and in Dallas caring for dad, is that it's just that they have a perspective about things that is different than the purely medical perspective. So, you know, we were getting a lot of that all the way along when mom was first diagnosed with cancer. And obviously we had a lot of that over multiple years with dad's Alzheimer's. But there's just another level that you have to think about when someone is really reaching the end of their life. And to have people that are experienced in talking about that and recognizing that and making that a peaceful transition for everyone. For instance, the thing that made a huge difference to us, Julie, as you know, is that originally when mom was dying and then when she actually died, the medical advice had been that we should not tell Dad that that was happening because he would find it too upsetting and impossible to understand, and it would just be too confusing for someone in the late stages of Alzheimer's that Dad was in. But then once you talk to the hospice people and they got a chance to meet Dad and examine him, and they could see that he too was very near the end of his life. I mean, they told us that in the middle of December, right?
Yes.
They were the ones that kind of overruled the medical people and said, if you don't explain this to him, he will not be free to go. He will not have the peace of knowing that he is going to his wife, that he will see her again, that she had all these things about feeling like she has gone before him would be helpful to him in having a peaceful death. And that just completely changed our mind about the whole situation, didn't it? And it was clearly the right thing to do.
Absolutely. I mean, it was, you know, it was the very first thing that the hospice worker in Dallas had said. She said, you must tell your father that this, you know, this is his wife of 62 years. This is unresolved. He can't die in peace without knowing this. So as incredibly difficult as it was to tell Dad in a moment when he was lucid that Mom had died, and to see Dad sob and sob at the loss of his wife, it still gave him the peace to die in peace. And we also know, and I, from all accounts, that Mom came to Dad. Dad talked about that in the last days of his life, and maybe it was because of the Alzheimer's. That when he talked about it, it was so startling because most of what he said you couldn't understand. But he made statements like, my brother and my wife are together. And his brother died 10 years ago. And so that but he said that very clearly. And then other days he would turn to me again, where most of the time we could not understand what he was saying. He would turn to me as clear as day and say, your mother called last night.
Which actually makes me laugh. You know? Yeah. Don't you think that's funny, Monica?
It is. I wonder what those conversations were like. But
and that I know in the last weekend he was reaching out to his mother. I heard him talk about his classmates. And I know he was referring to, you know, some of his best friends from college, his college classmates, that they were there waiting for him as well. And I, you know, I believe that helped him die. So it was somewhat sudden, but very peacefully. And that was great advice. You're right, Liz.
Right. It's one of the big insights that, you know, that I really took away and I would pass along. I think people have a fear of that when you get hospice organizations involved, it's like admitting that, okay, there's nothing more we can do. Like admitting the end is here and that it's kind of it's a very sad, like futile act almost. Like, okay, that's it. We can't save you. But in our experience, in both of these experiences, very close together, you know, within weeks of each other, we were dealing with two separate hospice organizations, dealing with two parents dying in very different ways. In both cases, they really helped us understand death as sort of that, as part of the just, I don't know, the living and dying process was so much more mysterious and like deep than I ever gave it credit for. So for people who are afraid of talking to hospice people because they don't want to look like they're giving up hope, I would just say it's like the most hopeful thing you can do at that stage if you're caring for someone who is that sick, is to get people with that perspective involved. Monica, I don't know if...
Yeah, and I would say the earlier the better, you know, because they really helped us. And even after both of our parents died, both of those hospice organizations offered bereavement counseling to us. But I know a lot of people, most of my friends whose parents have died, their one wish is that they had gotten them into hospice sooner. So I would say the earlier, the better, because then you can really get the benefits of the counseling and just the way they direct the medical care. It just has a different focus than, you know, bringing your parent to the hospital every time they have a complication. They know how to deal with all those complications at home, you know, and they can help you. So I would say the earlier, the better on hospice care.
You know, the hospice organization in Santa Monica that helped take care of mom is called Skirball Hospice, and I'm on their mailing list. I don't know if you guys still get the mail from them, but the just yesterday I got their February grief counseling newsletter, which is called Good Grief, by the way.
Well,
which is fine. I was happy to get it, and it's helpful. And, you know, because this is Skirball happens to be a faith-based organization, so much of this is actually written by a rabbi, and he always puts his name and his phone number at the bottom and, like, please call me if there's anything.
And they mean it there.
They totally mean it. They totally mean it. The one of the tips for some ideas to help you feel less alone and hopefully not as sad during this month of February. There were several of them that I'm really, you know, not up for, like helping someone. Sorry, no, I'm not ready to do that yet. But they did. Pamper Yourself was on the list, so that I could sign up for.
How about souffles and shopping? Was that?
Well, it says do something you've always wanted to do but have never done. Do you want to test drive a sports car? Try a new exercise class? Go whitewater rafting?
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea. So I would put souffles in that category, a day of souffles and shopping. You've never done that.
No, I really haven't.
You know, here we are. It's the end of February. But since, you know, really since last spring, as a family, we've been just like as stretched out as we possibly could be emotionally, you know, where you just feel like it's such a change for me to, you know, to not feel like at any moment the phone could ring and it's going to be the next crisis. You know, I know you all relate to that. Like, it's been a long time since we could actually just like walk away from the phones and not think that we're going to miss some urgent.
Or we're not going to get a, just some terrible email from one of us with terrible news, because that just breaks your heart.
Right.
That's really hard. And you're at work and you get these really sad emails about some crisis with your parents. And it's just hard to get through the rest of the day.
Well, you know, one of the things I did, Monica, I was telling you this in our last show, like at the beginning of the year when I realized I had really let myself go. like I re-signed up for my weight management program at UCLA. And so I've been like hanging on by my fingernails with that. And, you know, the losing dad, you know, let's just say it hasn't helped me sort of really get in a groove and take better care of my own health. And so last week when I was there, once a month they do blood tests, and they just generally checking how you're doing. And for the first time ever, like in my whole life, they said to me, you know, your blood sugar's a little high. Are you experiencing any extra stress lately?
Yes.
Yes, I am. Thank you for asking.
You qualify.
And then I started to explain, and obviously, like halfway through the sentence, I totally lost it as I started to explain like what we've been handling for the last year. And they're like, okay, well, that explains that. You know, they were very nice about it, but you know, it's like, should I be alarmed? They're like, no, I think that's a pretty good explanation for so why you might be feeling a little bit of extra stress. We'll continue to monitor that, but you know, thank you for telling us that. So physically, I obviously my body is still sort of, you know, processing all of this, but also I've noticed that I'm like losing items all over the place. I think my mental focus is not what it could be. Last weekend, I had to pack to go. I was away all this week on business. And so at the last minute, I'm throwing things in the suitcase. And for the life of me, I could not find the one dress that I needed. Like, I had to stand up and do a big presentation. And I knew exactly what I wanted to wear. And frankly, I didn't have that many choices because I don't fit into most of my clothes right now. So you know that feeling?
Monica, you have to have that dress.
You have to have that dress. It's
and
not
you,
like...
And you can't find it.
I couldn't find it anywhere. I'm pulling things out of all of my closets, all of my drawers. I'm last minute dashing down to the dry cleaners. I never found it. So I managed to pull something else together. And then as I was coming back on
Let me guess. It was in the trunk here.
I even went and looked.
Where most of your life is,
yes.
Liz.
That thought crossed my mind, Monica, that somehow it could just be in the back of my car somewhere. And I went and checked that. And then when I got home this week, I realized, you know, 3 weeks ago, it was right before I went to Dallas when Dad died. But that week before, I had been in a hotel, too. Maybe I hadn't seen it since then. And so just like, I thought, well, what the hell? I'll give this a go. And I called the hotel. I was like, is there any chance you found a black sleeveless wool dress in my room? I checked out on February 8th or something. And they put me on hold for about 2 minutes. And they're like, oh, yeah, we have it. And we also
had
a blue silk blouse that I had completely forgotten about.
And it's amazing the hotel still had it 2 weeks later.
I know. I know. Crazy. I was grateful for that. The one thing I have not found, like from that, like 3 weeks ago, I also going through security at Dulles, and all of the security in the Washington airports is extra tight, even compared to the rest of the country. Somehow I managed to walk away and get all the way home without my winter coat. I left that at a TSA checkpoint, and I have just been too...
Liz, that's a big apart. Item.
I know, but because I'm going home to Los Angeles, Monica, I'm not used to having a winter coat. So it's just like as I came through, and I got one of those extra security pat-downs because the magnetometers at Dulles are set on like 11. So you know that your underwire bra is going to set that off every single time. So I got pulled over. They went through every single thing in my bag, la, 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 turn your computer on, the explosives check, the whole thing. Oh. So it was just in the process of reassembling all my stuff that I walked away without the coat.
Good excuse to go out and buy a new winter coat.
Anyway.
Help to yourself, Liz.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's...
You have to put some clips on your clothing, Liz, or something.
So we are... We decided as a family that we would have our father's funeral mass and celebration of his life in March instead of in February because... Well, we just like weren't emotionally ready to go through the whole funeral thing again so quickly. But and the good news, by then, we may have our own Pope, right, Julie?
Well, that's right, Liz. You know, it is. It's interesting that that our father died on the day that Pope Benedict resigned. Now, I don't know if there was any connection, but that will always, in my mind, that will always be. You know, those two events will always, I'll always think of that. And, so now, as you know, this was Pope Benedict's last day today. He gave his last little speech there and the conclave of cardinals is coming to Rome. And the Dolan family, can we just say it? We're just very excited about the long shot, the dark horse chance that there might be a Pope Dolan, right? We're just really excited about that. I mean, let's be clear. As far as we know, we have no family connection to Cardinal the Cardinal from New York City, Cardinal Dolan. Timothy Dolan. We are not. See, I don't even know his first name, Liz.
He's just Pope Dolan to you.
We're not related to him.
Right. He has not come to Thanksgiving. I don't believe he's aware of the Satellite Sisters. Just there's no connection. But don't you think that there just is going to be, if he is elected Pope, that somehow having the last name Dolan is just, it's going to be a good thing for us. Don't you think?
I think there's going to have to be some kind of conclave of Dolans in Rome. Don't you think that he would need to do that?
I think it's going to at least get you to the head of the line when you go there as a tourist and you want to tour St. Peter's. You just show that passport that says Dolan in there, and somehow you're going to get in the shorter line. That's what I think. I think that's going to help.
But it is a long shot, right? I mean, I haven't really checked the odds today. I've been more focused on the Oscars. But, you know, Pope Dolan is a long shot, and we know it. But it would be very fitting. I think it's the kind of thing, I think Leon or someone posted this somewhere on our blog, that it's the kind of thing our father would have loved, and he would have totally claimed to be related to Pope Dolan. Next thing you know, he would have been his cousin. And he would have told that story without thinking twice about its complete lack of truthfulness.
I'm sure he would have gotten some family tree that showed the connection between Cardinal Dolan and himself. So anyway,
I'm not sure you can campaign for Pope. We can't really have any influence over that process, I'm guessing.
Well, Liz, you know, it's so rare that popes resign. I think that anything is possible with this election. So to start a Facebook campaign for Pope Dolan, I think is a good idea. I think it doesn't hurt, does it, Liz?
Can't hurt. No,
I don't think anything bad can come of it. Do you, Monica?
No, I don't. No, I'm sure there is a Facebook page campaigning for him. Just get on it.
All right, so Monica, what have you been up to? What's going on in Portland, Oregon?
Oh, I had quite a week. Speaking of trying something new, Liz, I have been eating enchiladas all week.
That sounds healthy, Monica.
That's new for you? Or it's just the volume of enchiladas is new?
Both. I just normally don't eat enchiladas, and the volume. We're talking 3, 4, 5 nights in a row. Here's the reason why. I'm having my friends for dinner this week. Uh-huh. I want to make something that I can bake ahead. And we never, you know, this group of friends, we never have Mexican food or Mexican-like themed food. So I thought I would try vegetarian enchiladas. But I've learned in the past, when you try a new recipe for the first time and you try it out on a group of 8 people, it doesn't always come out exactly like the recipe. And I mean, I had one instance where it just didn't look like the picture at all. And it was very, very disappointing. And I thought, you know, I should really practice first. So I've been practicing enchiladas. And, you know, the problem with enchiladas, it really comes down to one thing, breakage of the corn tortillas. You have to be able to fill the enchiladas, roll them, put them in a pan, and you have to make enough for 8 people without your enchiladas falling apart. And then the second problem is mushiness after the enchiladas come out of the oven. So I've just been trying various methods. I tried, you know, warming up the tortillas in the oven. Ooh, breakage.
That led to a lot of breakage.
Monica, are you using recipes? Are you going to YouTube to, you know,
Julie, I've done it all. I've searched. I've read at least a dozen recipes on how to make enchiladas. I've seen at least 12 videos on how to make enchiladas. First, what I do is I stare at the pictures, and then I find the enchiladas that look the best, and then I go to the recipe. So I've been trying various recipes, and I think I'm ready to go, but I'm so sick of enchiladas.
You're not going to be able to eat any the night of your dinner party.
I just want to be done with the enchiladas. I figure, you know, a little sour cream on the side, some sliced avocado, how bad can they be?
That's why I feel like people put up with a certain level of mushiness with enchiladas, just because it's about the flavors being so good.
Right. I just don't want it to be a big glop of enchilada glop on the plate.
That sounds bad.
I would like to see some individual enchiladas that are intact. That's what I'm going for.
What kind of vegetables are you using, Monica, for your enchilada?
Zucchini, sautéed zucchini, and corn and black beans.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a tasty combo. Okay.
Yeah, so I'll let you know how that turns out. I think lightly fry the corn tortillas is the way to go. you sort of fry them a little bit first, and then they hold up to the filling and the enchilada sauce.
I'm impressed that you're putting this much rehearsal time into it.
I mean,
this ladies' night dinner, haven't you been doing this for
many years? Many years, but as far as I know, we have never had enchiladas. So I want them to look presentable. And the fact is, the kind of tortilla that this one recipe told me to buy, it only came in like 100-pack. So I have a hundred.
Oh, single girl with 100 tortillas.
Corn tortillas. What are you going to do? Fill them. Enchilada them. That's what I've been doing. I need to step away from the enchiladas after next week.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. Because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful, yeah, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. One of the pieces of advice you always get from people when you're going through the kind of grief and change that we've gone through, a lot of my friends keep saying to me, you know, just be kind to yourself. And finally, I said to someone last week, you know what that translates into for me? That translates into, yeah, have the extra serving of lasagna. And just, that's I have to think of some other definition of what be kind to yourself means. So I can imagine that a week full of enchilada making and eating and tasting would be pretty satisfying emotionally as well as well as being ready for your ladies' night. Oh God. So what do you have planned for tonight? Do you have a menu planned for Oscar night?
Well, no, I go to my friend's house, Mary Michaels, and this is like our fifth year in a row. It's really fun. It's a little tradition, and I go over there and I watch the Oscars with them, and Michael makes a great dinner. And the thing that I like about watching the Oscars with them, they have a couple of friends over, is they enjoy the movies. You know, they enjoy everything about the movies, and they've seen most of the movies. So we were going through our list, Mary and I, of what we have seen, what we haven't seen, and it's good that we don't overlap. Like, for instance, I didn't see Life of Pi or Les Miserables. And those are the two movies they did see.
Okay, that's good.
On the best of, but I had quite a frenzy in the past 2 weeks of movie going. I finally saw Silver Linings Playbook. I saw Zero Dark Thirty. I saw Amours, the French movie.
Oh, my God. You went to see that?
I very, very sad. Very sad. And I also saw, as a real treat last weekend, I saw all of the live-action short nominees.
Oh, wow. Monica, you go deep. You go deep. It's like,
which is a category most people don't have an opinion about, but I do this year. So.
So who are you rooting for in that category? Anyone we've heard of?
Well, first of all, these were five extremely short, extremely dark movies. The first one was about murder and poisoning. The second one was about, like, heroin and suicide attempts. It was just the third
one. It's better that they're short. That's
the third one was about.
Is this a whole night of fun, or did you do this over a couple of...
No, they're all in a row. The third one was about dementia and death. It was just one thing after another. There was a lot of poverty. Oh, my gosh. But the one I liked the best was called Death of a Shadow.
Okay. All right.
It was, I thought, the most creative. Again, it was about murder and death, but that's the one I'm going with. Death of a Shadow.
You heard it here first at Satellite Sisters. Death of a Shadow. We'll see if it's a big winner.
I know.
Well, I was amazed to see that, like, of the nine Best Picture nominees, I've actually seen eight of them.
Liz, I know which one you didn't see.
I just absolutely was not willing to go see Amour. When someone told me that it was a tragic end-of-life story, I'm like, thank you. I totally have that covered. I do not need...
I thought you were going to say Django Unchained.
Oh, no.
Because I cannot tolerate Quentin Tarantino movies.
I would not have voluntarily gone to see that. You're right. You're right to pick that one out of the lineup.
You couldn't pay me to see that movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, my friend Chris was here visiting a couple weeks ago, and that's the movie that he really wanted to see. And I just, like, I'm like you. I think I've had enough Quentin Tarantino in my life. I really, the hyper-violence, I just don't have the tolerance for that anymore. So Django Unchained, I'd say, is like 3 hours of my life I wish I could get back. It's certainly original, but it is just so vicious and so mean. The acting in it is amazing, but no. You got no. Whereas Julie, you and I saw Silver Linings Playbook together on New Year's Day when I was visiting Dad in Dallas, and we loved that movie, right?
We did. That was a great movie. I hope it does well tonight. I have to say the prep we're doing here in our house is on DirecTV this weekend. You could download Argo, you know, and watch Argo. So we talked a little in the past about binge viewing.
Yeah.
My husband has watched Argo this weekend. I think he's seen it six times.
So he's doing some binge viewing. That's the only, like, he's...
What, does he love it? Why is he watching
it? He loves the movie. It's in his, now it's in his classic rotation with the Bourne films and Field of Dreams, Argo.
Field of Dreams and Argo. He's all set.
He is
I think we'll win the best picture.
Right. So he hasn't watched all 10 movies. He's just watched one movie 6 times.
Well, another prediction I want to make. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, in the best, I think Argo should win Best Picture too. I loved that movie. We talked about that on a previous show. It was just fun and edge of your seat entertainment, just smart enough to really like give you an insight into something, but really, really well done. And I, you know, Lincoln was a like fascinating slice of history, but I don't know. The movie I felt was a little bit boring and a little bit hokey. But because we know Ben Affleck is not nominated for Best Director, my vote for Best Director is Ang Lee for Life of Pi. Did either of you guys see? You didn't see that, right?
I didn't see it yet. I'm counting on my friends to fill me in. I wanted to.
I mean, I could not love Ang Lee more anyway, when you think of the breadth of things that he has done. Mm-hmm. But Life of Pi is really, really such a beautiful movie and just an amazing story. And I never even read the book, but people I know who read the book said, I can't believe they could even make that into a movie. And then the ones that have seen the movie thought it was a really pretty smart adaptation. The book is so much more sprawling than a movie can be. But anyway, so I'm hoping we get a little Ang Lee tonight.
Okay.
Because he could not be more charming too. So wouldn't you rather see him up there than Steven Spielberg? I mean, I got nothing against Steven Spielberg, but really, come on. And here's another, I had a little revelation a couple days ago about why I was kind of hung up on Les Mis, because I really liked that movie and I loved that show. You know, I saw the stage play twice and loved it. I own the soundtrack. I frequently listen to the original soundtrack from Les Mis, but I've just had a hard time getting excited about Anne Hathaway. Why? You like her?
I liked her. I thought she was very good in it.
She was just
a supporting actor. She wasn't even in the movie that long.
But here's the light bulb moment I had just the other day. I was listening, one of the podcasts I listened to, Alec Baldwin does a podcast called Here's the Thing, and he's a really good interviewer, believe it or not, and he interviews like really smart, interesting people. And he did an interview with Patti LuPone that I just happened to listen to the other day. And that was my light bulb moment. The first time I saw Les Mis, the role that Anne Hathaway plays in the movie was played by Patti LuPone, right? So I think, I'm sorry, Patti LuPone, Anne Hathaway. Patti LuPone, Anne Hathaway. I cannot get excited about Anne Hathaway knowing that the role was actually created by Patti LuPone. But I hadn't really gotten in touch with my feelings on that until I heard Patti LuPone talking about that show this week on that podcast. So that's why I haven't been willing to emotionally invest in Anne Hathaway in any way. That's what was holding me back. It's not Anne's fault. There's really nothing she can do about it. So...
That's quite analytical there, Liz. So what's going to be your strategy for watching the big event tonight, Liz?
Okay, here's my problem. Again, I think I've told you I'm suffering from a little bit of a lack of mental focus. I have to be on a plane tonight. I actually made plans. I have to be in Amsterdam tomorrow night, which means getting on a plane. My flight leaves... LAX at 6:30 tonight.
Oh, Liz, I'm so sorry.
I'm so mad at myself. I even like went through the schedule. I was trying to figure out later flight, blah, blah, blah. Or, well, could I go to the airport earlier and just sit in the lounge for 3 hours? And so I didn't miss so much of it. So the way I figure it, I'm going to get to see like Seth MacFarlane's opening, whatever that is. And then the rest of it, I'm going to miss. And I'm so qualified this year, you know?
Because you've seen so much.
Because I've seen almost all of the movies.
I know.
And you really shouldn't go to Amsterdam because you don't have a winter coat, Liz.
Well, at least you don't have to see Anne Hathaway win.
I know. That's true. And it's not like I'm just going to be like out of it for 24 hours and then I can watch it when I get home Monday night. I won't be home until the end of the week. So the whole thing will have been like totally hashed over, spoiled in every way. Like people, I will know all the results. I will know all the embarrassingly bad jokes and the funny jokes. You know, there'll be nothing left for me to see by the time I can watch it on my own TiVo on Friday night. No, so
I have one other thing to say about the Academy Awards. I speak, I know, for a certain segment of the population that I don't have any idea who Seth MacFarlane is. Okay? I'm just saying it. Okay. I'm wondering how
he got the job, but I guess we'll find out tonight. Maybe someone fresh that most people don't know who he is. I mean, a lot of people do, but most people, maybe that will be good.
I don't know. I'm just saying I don't know who he is. I've never watched any of it.
You're not a Family Guy viewer, Julie?
No, surprisingly not, Liz. Surprisingly not. I know you're shocked at that. So I'm just putting, and I'm not embarrassed about it. I think a lot of people are pretending that they know who Seth MacFarlane is, and they have no idea. Okay?
Well, one thing I read about tonight that I think will be fun, you know how they usually have starlets handing out the statuettes and standing there directing people off stage and on stage, you know, but this year they're going to have young filmmakers.
Oh yeah. I heard about that. They're going to have students to apply,
which is cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I read that they're also going to have, Julie, I think your husband will appreciate this, that there's a rumored,
Barbara Streisand.
No, all of the Bonds will be there.
Oh, that's exciting.
I know it's not quite as good as Matthew Bourne, but all of the James Bonds through the years together on stage, that's what I read somewhere that is something there. And then I guess for Adele's big number when she sings the song from that movie, right? So I heard there's a lot of extra singing and dancing. Because here's the thing you don't know about Seth MacFarlane, because you know nothing about Seth MacFarlane anyway. I mean, he's sort of famous for Family Guy and the sort of animated, snarky TV shows he writes and voices and creates and all of that. But he also sings and plays the piano and has issued albums in the past. So I think you're going to see like a little bit of a singing dancing host it's sort of a Hugh Jackman meets Ricky Gervais thing they're going for, I think.
Okay. Liz's big prediction.
But I guess that's the only part of the show she's going to see.
I think you might be getting more of the snarky humor than, you know, what you're really looking for. But we
could always switch back and watch Argo in the middle of the award.
I was like, you're going to have to tell your husband he's going to have to turn off Argo for just a little while to watch the awards. I'm excited for tonight. Excited. Yeah. There were some really good movies out this year. So
there were really good movies. I watched the IFC, the Independent Spirit Awards, last night on TV just because I knew I was missing the Oscars tonight.
Please.
So I got a taste of the excitement, and it was, you know, it was just more Silver Linings Playbook and stuff. So, okay. All right. So we have a big week ahead of us. We got Oscars. We got all kinds of things going on. Anything else anyone needs to cover?
Enchiladas. We got enchiladas.
Oh, we got enchiladas.
Enchiladas. We got Leanne stuck in Kansas City. So yeah. Just say a prayer for her. And Liz, you just maybe mark your clothing or something as you're taking this big trip, and stay warm.
Oh, I know. Well, it's, you know, when you go over and back that fast, you just don't even have time to realize what climate you're in, which is why you forget you need a coat. But I will be in touch. So there you have it. We're the Satellite Sisters. We're back. It's been, you know, for obvious reasons, we haven't always gotten to recording a show as frequently as we would like, but it's not because we're not, you know, of course we love doing this, and we love getting all your messages. You've been so nice on Facebook, and the people that have taken the time to send real cards to the Satellite Sisters. It's been, don't you think it's, I find it much more meaningful than you would ever really think, just to, read through the postings on Facebook. And
done it multiple times. So, they are just your kind thoughts and prayers. They just keep on giving us support and lifting us up. And thank you so much for that.
And it reminded me, Julie, that, because we've been talking about our family in various ways for, more than 10 years that we've been doing Satellite Sisters, regular listeners know quite a bit about Mom and Dad. So there were messages coming back with references to specific things and stories that I had totally forgotten that we ever told on the air. So I think it was really nice to know that when you wrote to us, it wasn't just because you care about us and listen to us, which is, of course, very nice, but that you felt like you had a sense of connection to Edna and to Jim. And that was something that we had created over the years. Going back to the first thing that either Mom or Dad ever did on Satellite Sisters, for Satellite Sisters, do you remember that the original show for the first several months, how we had Dad do the credits at the end?
Yes, it really was not good. That's all I can say.
It's just overly dramatic.
I had
to keep telling him to just take it down a notch, Dad.
Yes.
He thought he was doing Shakespeare, but it was just the correct.
Right. You think it's your dad, and all of a sudden you're getting Sir John Gielgud. And so, and each week the credits were getting longer and longer. So it was supposed to be like a 20-second tag at the end of the show. This is when our show was still on public radio. The 20-second tag was becoming like 2 minutes of Shakespearean oratory. So finally we had to fire Dad. Anyway, I should dig up that audio, and we will share that with you on another time. All right, sisters, have a good week. Good luck,
okay.
Everyone.
Good luck,
Liz. Okay, and call your satellite sister.